Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
Plenty of people out there that are listening have websites that are not serving them well and actually may be hurting them.
Today on episode 431 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Paul Kirch, president of Websites and Leads. I'm going to ask Paul why businesses should or should not have a website, how a good website can open up new types of revenue, how to use your website to build recurring revenue, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Paul, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Now let's welcome Paul Kirch. Paul is the host of Boss Academy Radio, a show catering to business owners and entrepreneurs, where he shares his experiences and expertise while bringing in guests who provide high-value messaging to give support to the listeners. BOSS stands for Business Ownership Success Strategies, which is the focus of every episode. He also currently serves as the president and CEO of Websites and Leads, a digital marketing agency catering to startup firms and many of the same listeners of his show, Boss Academy Radio. Paul, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on again.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on.
So Paul, what are some of the mistakes that business owners commonly make with their websites?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is there's a common belief that you have to have a website if you're in business today. There are still businesses out there that a website maybe does not serve them well. And I think plenty of people out there that are listening have websites that are not serving them well and actually may be hurting them because they have a focus on having a static business card webpage, which basically serves the same purpose of a business card. You have to hand a business card to somebody for it to do any good. A static business card website, you almost have to have somebody drawn to your website from some other means, and then they've got information about you, but there's no means of driving any lead conversion, any kind of relationship building. It's just really more of an informational stamp out there on the internet. And quite frankly, those websites don't typically attract visitors very well, and they definitely don't convert visitors very well. And in many cases, from a credibility standpoint, you'd almost be better off not having a website because you look like you've been sitting with a website that's 10, 15 years old, and that does not do you well when you're trying to sell to somebody and give them the impression that you're a company that's progressive, knows what they're talking about, is current, and is really walking the walk and not just talking the talk.
So I get it that a bad website can really detract from your credibility. Is there really a kind of business that just shouldn't have a website?
I wouldn't say there's any business that shouldn't have a website, but certain businesses, if you're the oil and gas business and your clients are all wholesale customers and you've got a sales force out there serving those people directly, maybe a website can be just an informational tool that you need. But it's not any kind of retail or any kind of sales conversion tool. I think everyone can benefit from a website, but there are some industries out there where a website maybe just is a little less relevant than others.
Right, right. No, I get that in some kinds of businesses, leads don't come because they find you online and the website is not likely to convert business because the conversions happen in a different way. I get that.
Yeah. And there are plenty of companies out there that, just based off of their business model and the way that they do sell and the way that they do engage customers, some of them just don't even have a web presence, or if they do, it really just serves as more of a placeholder and something that gives a visitor something that they expect, and that's to be able to find you online.
So with that as sort of the foundation of our discussion, most businesses today, I believe, have some kind of website. At least my anecdotal experience is that most of them have a website. Why do you think somebody should have a website, and what should they be thinking about with regard to their website?
Well, okay. So first off, there are still many that have not put up a web presence, or they put one up years ago and haven't touched it. And like I said, if they're in a position where they need to show credibility, they're doing themselves a disservice. So I think the first thing you need is a well thought out plan in terms of an online strategy. What is your goal? Is your goal to attract new clients? Is it to convert clients? Is it to educate people? Depending on what your goal is and your objective with your website, if it's an informational tool only, you still want current information. Now, if you're needing to draw in new leads and attract people through a search engine optimization strategy or some sort of content marketing strategy where you really want to get new traffic in from the search engines, you need to have well thought out content and content that is centered around optimized keywords. And the keywords could be things like, let's say that you own a car wash and you want to attract people. Well, maybe you're doing local search optimization where you might be trying to attract people that live in St. Louis and you own a car wash. So maybe some of your keywords are car washes in St. Louis. You know, maybe that's a phrase that is being highly searched, but some of your other competitors are not getting optimized or not getting found on that keyword. So when we look at search engine optimization, so we want to look for keywords that are highly searched, but low competition means that your competitors are not necessarily out there trying to get found on those phrases. They aren't writing content around it. They don't have the code on their website, meta tags, and these things are not optimized around those same keywords. So if it's low competition and high traffic, then often it's pretty easy to move up the search engine rankings by putting out good content that has those keywords and then optimizing the site around that. So that's something that a good web developer can definitely help you with and put you in a position to be succeed with. So content marketing, keyword content, these are all things that really help just the search engines find you, understand that you're a legitimate business, that you're offering a legitimate service, and your website is actually focused on the content related to that business. So if you're out there selling sewing equipment, but every article on your website is about camping, well, there's a little disconnect. Then the search engines don't necessarily have the sophistication to understand that you're maybe just posting some fun articles about your camping experience. That doesn't mean you can't have information about camping, but why not pepper in some great content about maybe how to patch up a tent with sewing needles and sewing thread. So, you know, so you can actually have articles that are not necessarily specifically related to your business, but they should tie in somehow so those keywords are leveraged. So sewing needles, thread, mending tents, that could all be stuff that still is relevant to somebody that has sewing supplies.
Makes perfect sense. Paul, what kinds of clients do you typically work with the most?
Well, I spent about 26 years in the marketing research industry. So I still have clients that come out of the marketing research space, but you know, I've worked with companies that are in wholesale, retail. There's various industries we work with. We've worked with some authors, people that are in the retail investment space. So I'd say a very large percentage of my clients have always come from the research space, but we do a lot of work outside. But a big factor is retail investment, or excuse me, I said retail, but real estate investment, people that own apartment complexes and multifamily homes and things of that nature.
And are there common problems that you see among your clients?
Well, I think it comes back to the common problem that I stated at the beginning, that their focus is on just having a website up because they think that's what they need. And they think the nicer the website, the more that it's going to serve them well. But when we really start talking to them about what they're trying to accomplish, what their goals are, where they're going with their business, it often comes back to a better strategic perspective on how they're putting out content, what kind of content is being leveraged, and those keywords that I mentioned earlier. Because even if you aren't doing a paid search engine optimization program, you still want your site optimized around keywords because the search engines can just organically send traffic to you if your content is good. And so we want to really make sure that we focus on two areas, and that's UI, UX. You'll often hear that when you talk about web development, user interface and user experience. So what's the user interface look like? What's the website like? But what's the experience for the user? And do you make it easy for them to navigate? Are you giving them content that keeps you on your pages for longer than just a few seconds? If you have a really high abandon rate, which means that somebody coming to your website, they see the website, they stop there, but they realize there's nothing in it for them and they leave, that actually works against you when it comes to the search engines. But if you have a value-based strategy for content, you're giving them articles or you're giving them some sort of content that is actionable and gives them a reason to come back, then that keeps them on the page longer, which in turn moves you up the search engine rankings more and gets you maybe on page one, page two, and then all of a sudden you're getting more traffic specific to your business. Even if you're in a B2B business, one of the most under-leveraged strategies is writing SEO-based content that's maybe targeting towards a consumer audience. Because if you have good content on there and you get visitors to your site and those visitors are staying, you will in turn move your website up the page rankings for those keywords. And when you move up the page rankings, now all of a sudden it's easier for B2B customers to find you. So you don't necessarily have to write specific content to a B2B audience to get B2B customers. It just takes a little longer with a well thought out strategy.
Mm. So I wonder if we could actually talk about a story about somebody you know who has a website that they created because they thought they needed one and it needed to look nice. They had no strategy, no goals, or they didn't articulate their goals when they first created the website. And they came to you for some help. What do you take them through and what ends up happening as a result?
Well, I'll give you a great example of somebody that's an author that had written a book, and she had a very specific niche audience that she was serving, but she really did not have any kind of strategy. Her idea was to put a picture of her book up there and showcase the places that she was doing book signings, but she didn't really have any kind of specific content to attract new visitors. So we actually helped her come up with a strategy to extract some of the content from her book and create some one-page giveaways where people would come out and maybe download a chapter or download a helpful piece of information related to the topic that she was focusing on. And those strategies started to draw in visitors. Also, because we leveraged keyword strategy around it, we were able to get the search engines to recognize her more for her content. And that started to move her up the rankings. She started to get more organic traffic. So she went from just having kind of a perspective that she was going to sell the books on her own, but she wanted a website to have people at. So when she met them and handed them a business card, they had somewhere to go. And what she ended up with was starting to get much more organic traffic and much more strategic traffic that was converting to people opting in to learn more about her, follow her. And in turn, those are the people that ended up buying her book and then ended up referring her on to others.
Right. And in addition to buying her book, were there other business outcomes?
Absolutely. She does coaching and consulting and what happened from this. And actually that her coaching and consulting business stemmed from the fact that she started getting all these people interested in her. And she said, look, I can help them in other ways. And so she started to take those people that had opted in and send them a newsletter. And that newsletter was filled with value-packed information. And then she started a campaign to reach out to those people and to attract them as coaching clients. And so she was able to build a coaching and consulting practice out of her success from her website.
Right. So taking the fact that she had a book, turning it into something she could leverage with a website so that she was then able to attract people, build an audience, learn more about the audience, and then provide a solution to problems the audience was having besides just selling them the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And what she found that was interesting is the audience that she ended up selling to was not the audience she originally thought that she was going to be attracting. And that was the interesting thing. You know, from a marketing perspective, we often are told, you know your avatar, know your customer, know the people that are going to be buying from you. What do they look like? What kind of car do they drive? How do they dress? But nobody really goes through that exercise. Or when people do go through that exercise, they often take shortcuts. Well, because she was able to start attracting people through this strategy, she started to learn that the people that she originally thought she'd be selling to were not her core audience, but it ended up being a different group that actually was at a higher price point. They were able to spend more money. They were actually able to be people that she could serve more fairly because she could charge the right kind of fees to serve them and still make money, but also give them a lot of value.
Right, which goes back to your first point, which is got to start with the strategy and the goals so that you can figure all the rest out.
Absolutely.
What are some ways that you have seen companies really do a fabulous job when it comes to websites and leads?
Getting traffic is not the hard part. So one of the core pieces of our offering is conversion rate optimization. So once we do have traffic coming to you, once we're able to put up a website that's actually represents your brand, shows that you're a credible business, we start getting traffic for your business, you're starting to get leads, we want to help you optimize that. So optimize at a higher rate, convert more customers from people opting in. So we go through a process of conversion rate optimization where we actually will build out A/B testing on your website, on different pages of your website, and testing different offers and start to really figure out what is converting at a higher rate. And once we have the maximum or the optimized conversion, then that's the website that we'll actually launch out. And so obviously that's a more expensive offering. That's something that happens at a later stage, typically, once we have leads coming in. But that's actually a core piece of business that really does absolutely make a huge impact in somebody's business model, because you go from guessing what works to really understanding exactly what works. And there's some science behind it.
Right. Also, the beauty of digital marketing is you have lots of data that you can analyze to see what's working and what's not working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And case in point, I mentioned the author. Well, she started to understand her coaching clients were not the people she originally thought. And that would not have happened if she had just guessed and put some content on the website and sat back and waited for things to happen. She really had to have a plan in place. And that plan is something that morphed over time.
Mm. Paul, are there things that you can do with digital marketing, particularly with regard to the analytics, as you're trying to test different things that can help a business drive more recurring revenue as opposed to transactional revenue?
Well, absolutely. The conversion rate optimization is a big piece of it. I mean, tools like Google Analytics and some other tools that we use to measure allow us to actually get a real read on where people are spending time on the site, how much time they're spending. Like I mentioned earlier, if you have a high abandon rate, getting visitors to website, like I said, is not necessarily the hard part. Keeping them there, keeping them interested, that's where it absolutely has the biggest impact. And then good content. This is why people still blog. You know, there's been a lot of theories over the years that blogging was dying. Actually, blogging has had a major resurgence. And blogging could be video blogs, it can be written blogs, but whatever the content that you're creating on your site, if it's new articles, case studies, white papers, whatever it is, has to be value-based and keep people coming back time and time again. And the companies that do it well are the ones that get people back to their site time and time again because there's a reason for them to check in. And that's where you have the opportunity to continue to upsell or keep people on as a recurring customer, creating content programs around your website. So creating a training program, for example, let's say that you're a nutritionist and you want to create a content program around teaching people how to eat better, how to exercise, whatever it ends up being. And then you sell them into that program. Perhaps you even offer that to them for free to start, or maybe there's an entry-level program, and then you upsell them to a paid program. You have the opportunity to create real ongoing residual income.
Right. And then I would imagine in a business like that, there's the opportunity to sell them into some kind of recurring membership program.
Absolutely. Mastermind groups, coaching programs, some sort of subscription-based model.
Yeah. So which companies do this really well and focus heavily on building recurring revenue?
I would say that there's not necessarily a specific industry, but I'd say areas that do it really well are people that have some sort of coaching program already. They do coaching maybe around the health and fitness area, nutrition, mental awareness, anything around bettering yourself, self-improvement. If you have programs already in place, then I think this is where moving those to an online digital environment and building up that credibility, building up that trusted relationship is where it's pretty easy to take that, convert that to a model, which you have recurring revenue. So with the, I guess, never-ending supply of upcoming entrepreneurs, people that are going out on business for themselves, whether they have a full-time self-employed business or they are working for someone else, but doing something on the side, something where you have some sort of coaching model or some sort of model which recreates a opportunity for subscription.
Right. But the other thing about either coaching or some kind of peer learning and support is there's always room for improving oneself. And even if you're a member of a community for a long time, you can still work month to month to try to make improvements over where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we often hear about lifestyle businesses. We hear about people that have adopted the four-hour work week, that model. And that's great. I mean, I obviously commend people that have been able to be successful in creating a lifestyle business where they can work from anywhere. But a lot of people have a business model that's built around some sort of service offering where, at least in the early days, they're very hands-on tied to it. But getting to the point where you can take your business and create a program which allows you to not necessarily have to be hands-on doing every event live, every call live, and you can actually start to create some pre-recorded content and sell that to a larger massive audience. That does open up the opportunity to create some sort of lifestyle with residual income around it. Now, obviously, depending on, you know, how hungry you are and what kind of business you're really in, you know, that freedom and flexibility may not be there for everybody, but online marketing and digital marketing does open opportunities that just working for someone else or working a 9-to-5 job is just not going to present.
Absolutely. Paul, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
Well, one of my favorite people is Aaron Marino. He has a YouTube channel called Alpha M. I've actually interviewed him on my podcast show, Boss Academy Radio, a couple times, actually three times, to be honest. And Aaron's a great guy. He's a guy that will tell you his story about how he owned a nutrition business. He had a business partner that was doing some things that he should not have been out of the back of the business. And Aaron ended up getting in a really bad financial spot. He was actually taking money out on credit cards to pay his staff. And was at a low point, was working, serving drinks on a golf cart at a country club where he had lived. And at one point, he just finally says, look, I've got to step away from this. And he shut the business down. I believed he filed for bankruptcy, if I remember the story correctly. But he's been able to rebuild and start multiple businesses and has had a ton of success. And the secret for him was he learned how to engage people online. He learned how to build a relationship. He learned how to create valuable content and attract an audience that became extremely loyal. And to this day, he's had a ton of success with that.
That's a great example. Paul, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
Well, we're definitely doing a lot of work in the blockchain space through another company called BlockWin. We're just operating it separately away from Websites and Leads. Websites and Leads is always going to be focused on digital marketing, but we're doing some work in blockchain. But the other thing that I'm working on is building out some coaching around my podcast show, Boss Academy Radio, where we're going to be giving tools, tips, and strategies to entrepreneurs to help them grow their business.
And if someone wants to go deeper with what you shared today to learn more or access any of the things you mentioned, like your own podcast, where would they go?
They can contact me directly at paul@websitesandleads.com.
Sounds great. Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest today has been Paul Kirch, president of Websites and Leads. Thank you again, Paul, for joining us.
Hey, David, thanks so much.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed why businesses should or should not have a website, how a good website can open up new types of revenue, and how you can use your website to build recurring revenue. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.